How about you back there? Is it great to do church together? It really is. This is family. If you're visiting us today, we're so glad you're here. We don't expect you to, you don't have to give anything. You don't have to do anything. We're just glad you're here, and we're glad you can see that we're a real group of people that really loves the world and really loves Jesus, and that's why we're here. So let's get to work in the Word of God. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, if you would do that. Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be continuing our sermon series on encountering Jesus today, because encountering Jesus is very important. It's what our church is all about. It's how we learn how to follow him. As we get together, when we come together as a church, we encounter him together. So today, I want to talk to you about something that's very personal, that's very very spiritually intimate for me, but I want to invite you into a journey that I've been taking over the last year. I've been really taking this journey for 48 years now. I just turned 48 a few weeks ago. That's crazy. But this journey I've been taking for most of 48 years, but especially over the last year, last couple of years, this journey into growing even deeper in my personal prayer life. And I want to invite you together into this journey, not as a way of pointing a finger or condemning or saying, you better get it right. You better get your prayer life right. Did you know I try? I hope that I make it. I hope that this, what I try to do, actually happens. But I try never, ever to stand up here. My heart would be never to be preaching at you. When I'm preaching to you, when I'm proclaiming the Word of God, here's what I see in my head. There's a big old full-length mirror right here. And when I'm preaching the Word of God, I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to me. You guys, we're in this together, right? We're in this together. This is not somebody up here telling you how to do something. This is us learning how to follow God together. I got an email this week that just broke my heart from somebody who thought I was preaching at them. I was saying something, and I when I said it months and months and months ago, I was saying something that was convicting to me. But somehow my eyes must have met them when I said this thing. And they emailed me and said, I can't believe you said that about me. And it just hurt me. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to say this to be funny. I understand how it could sound funny. And I understand the laugh. But hear me. They actually left the church with their family because they thought that I was saying something about them. And it broke my heart. It broke my heart because that would never be that. If you've ever thought that I'm preaching at you or I'm saying something to you, maybe the Holy Spirit's convicting something in you. But I've never, ever, ever figured out what people in the church, well, you know, Kevin Soule over here is dealing with, you know, such and such, so I better come up with a sermon that really helps Kevin to get it right. I don't do that. We preach the Word of God so that we can all grow. And this might seem weird to you, but I want to stop as a church and pray for that man. Lord, that man who emailed me who was hurt by something that I didn't intend and that I would have never done intentionally, and yet there was a hurt there and a brokenness that happened. Lord, I'm not praying even for them to come back to the church, though if that's what you want to have happen, I'd love that reconciliation, but I pray that there would be forgiveness and grace. And Lord, I pray that they would be able to grow deep in you and their relationship with you, Lord, as they move forward. Lord, I pray that nobody in this place ever feels like the pastor's condemning them, but we would all feel like we're on a journey together, finding the heart of God, that we would become together what you intend us to become. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, I want to talk to you about my prayer life, my prayer pattern this morning. It's a short sermon that I want to share with you. We could go on and on for weeks and weeks, but this really is a sermon and a talk about my personal daily time with the Lord. We're not talking about deep intercession, although that is a very important part of my life too. We're not going to get deep into the reading of the Word of God, though that's a big part of my prayer life too. But there's a time, there's a pattern that daily I give my heart to the Lord, I give my life to the Lord. And I want to share with you how I do it, not because I do it all that wonderfully, or I think that you have to do it exactly like I do, but because I want to challenge and encourage some of us that spending daily time with the Lord, getting your heart right before the Lord before your day starts, is so very important. For some of you, you go, yeah, Pastor Tim, I've been doing that for decades, and now you're going to teach a sermon that's so low bar, it really does nothing for me, because I probably pray better than you do, Pastor Tim. No offense. I don't take offense. You may, very well. You may have been praying for years better than I pray. But if you're somebody who's an accomplished prayer warrior, I want you to be encouraged by this message today. Because first of all, maybe you've been an accomplished prayer warrior, but you've forgotten some things along the way. How many of you know basics are always really important to go back to? We go back to the basics. Secondly, if you're an accomplished prayer warrior, I want to tell you something. Here's my goal, that you're not going to be alone. My goal is that some people in here, that all people in here, my real goal is that every one of us would somehow get hungry to be people who pray, to become men and women of prayer. And that we would join those who we go, oh, they're prayer warriors. They have a gift of prayer. No. I think God has called each of us to learn how to pray deeply in Him. Amen? He has. And I want us to learn how to do that. When I came to this church, I'd been praying all my life. I gave my heart to the Lord at 4 years old. And that's a story I won't go into. But yes, I don't remember all of the sins that I repented of at 4 years old. But I do remember that I needed to repent of being a sinner. That I needed to repent and turn around in my own heart and say, I'm not somebody who's following God. I know that I need to give my heart to the Lord. And ever since 4 years old, I've been learning how to pray. I've been learning how to be in the Word. I've been learning how to process time with the Lord. But I got to tell you, 3 years ago when I came to this church to be the pastor here, man, something really was amazing. I don't know if you know this, but the Church on the Way is known all over the world as the praying church. Did you know that? In fact, I started reading a book because I was like, Lord, I want to learn how to pray better. I want to learn how to lead our church. There's a book called The Power of the Praying Church. And I started reading this book and found out it was a book written about the Church on the Way. I mean, this is a church that knows how to pray. So, but here's the deal. There's some of you that have been around a long time and you know how to pray and it's wonderful. And as I approached pastoring this church and even found out how much this church prayed and how much it pressed in, it was really encouraging to me. But there are a lot of people here that have come to the church in the last few years and maybe you don't know how to pray. I believe it's not supposed to be the haves and the have-nots, the ones that are mature that have been around a long time and those that are not. Let's all get on the same page and learn how to have an intense, active, vibrant prayer life. Anybody with me? That we would all learn how to pray together. In fact, maybe you've recognized that this church knows how to pray. Maybe you're a newer person at the church and you've gotten caught in a prayer circle with some people who really know how to pray. You know what I'm talking about? My other pastor friends find out that we have prayer circles at our church and they go, Tim, you still do that? Doesn't that drive visitors away? Doesn't that make it awkward for people? And my answer is, yeah. How many of you, the first time you ever prayed in a prayer circle, it was a little bit awkward for you? Anybody? Okay. But here's what I get over and over again from people. Over and over and over and over again, people that are brand new to the church, they go this, Pastor Tim, I started coming to the church 3 months ago. Oh, that's great. Why did you stay? Why did you come? A little bit of me thinking that maybe they'll say, great sermons. It's really not what I'm expecting. I've come to expect something that I hear over and over and over again. The first time I ever visited the Church on the Way, you had us turn into circles to pray, and I was like, I didn't know what to do because I've never done that in church before. And then somebody next to me prayed a prayer that called down heaven and that changed my life. I went home and my life was changed, and I realized how important it was to pray with other people. You guys, if we're going to learn how to pray like that in power when we come together, we have to learn how to pray faithfully in private when nobody's around. Right? Okay. So we're going to learn how to pray. Luke 11:1. I read this. One day, say that with me. One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. Say that with me. A certain place. And when he finished, one of the disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. These are disciples that have been with Jesus for some time. They'd been with Jesus doing ministry with him. They'd even been sent out at some point to do ministry, to see people healed, to cast demons out. There are people who had something together. They spent time with Jesus. They knew who he was. And yet, one day, when Jesus prayed in a certain place, the disciples came to him when he was finished and said, Lord, Would you teach us how to pray? Can I tell you this? That if you're an accomplished prayer warrior, I'm glad you're here and you're helping us learn how to pray. But can I tell you that if you're still learning how to pray, it's okay. Because even the disciples had to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, we know who you are, but would you teach us better how to pray? Can I admit to you that as a pastor, I'm still asking Jesus, Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. And can I admit to you that I don't ever think I'm ever going to get to the end of my life and think, okay, now I got it down. I'm going to keep learning how to pray all my life. Jesus doesn't say, if you're my follower, if you ever pray, here's what you do. He says, if you're my follower, when you pray, here's what you do. And I want us to take a look at that. I ask you to open up to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start in verse 6. It says, Jesus talking to his followers. When you pray, say that with me. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Father, would you teach us today how to start having a heart that approaches you daily? Lord, that we would not miss time with you, that we would not just see time with you as a task that has to be checked off, but it would be something that is life-giving that we can't wait to have happen. Lord, teach us how to encounter you. In your name we pray. Amen. So let's get to work here. This is a sermon in progress. This isn't a finished, complete reality for me. It's something that my life is growing into, and I'm encouraging you to learn it with me. Because if you've never really learned how to pray daily, to come before the Lord daily, prayer can feel intimidating, but it doesn't need to feel intimidating. This is the way God invites us into relationship with him. We spend more time with him. The open door to relationship with God is through the cross of Jesus Christ and the power of his resurrection. And then he calls us to spend intimate time with him. That's important, isn't it? That's important, to spend time with him. So this morning, I'm not dealing with deep intercession, though that's certainly a part of prayer, and it's necessary, and it's important for us to learn it. But I'm talking about a daily pattern of personally preparing our hearts before the Lord. Let me give it to you this way. Deborah and I have been married on March 8th. We have been married 20 years. Isn't that amazing? It feels like yesterday. There are often times when Deborah and I, we come together and we decide something's got to get done. There are times when we're sitting in the living room and we look around and go, okay, it's time to clean up. And we get up and spend a lot of time cleaning our house. Or we have to go to the backyard and clean up the yard. Or we have to go somewhere. We have to fix something. We have to prepare something. How many of you know that in a relationship, like a marriage relationship, there are a lot of times to get things done together? Do you know what I'm talking about? But do you also know that there are times that we're not just getting things done together, there are times to just be together? If we only ever got things done together and we never just sat and checked in with each other and had conversation with each other, there'd be something lacking in our marriage. And I want to suggest to you that while getting things done with God, what happens as we intercede, that He is a pleasure to partner with us to change things in the world as we intercede on others' behalf. That's an amazing, amazing gift that we have. But there are times, and I believe daily times, that we need to sit down with God and check in with him and let our hearts be changed in his presence. I think that's a very important part of our relationship with the Lord. So how do we maintain this kind of personal prayer pattern? Here are a couple of things that I've learned or I'm learning. By the way, you have those notes, the sermon notes I gave you, so that because we don't have a lot of time, I'm going to have to skip through a few things, especially some of the verses that are written. I want to encourage you to go home and look at those verses and to process through. Secondly, what I'm about to tell you, You may have your own prayer time and you may have your own pattern, and that's wonderful, and I'm not trying to dissuade you from that, but for so many Christians I've found they don't actually have a daily pattern of time with the Lord. So I'm giving you something you can kind of hang your hat on. Third is this: everything that I'm about to say is not unique to me. I've learned from a lot of people, and I can't always discern where I've learned things. This is how I approach my time with the Lord, but I've learned from everybody from Jack Hayford to A.W. Tozer to Joy Dawson, and so there may be something that I say that may reflect something that you've heard said. Well, I think that's good news because we're listening to some of the greats that have taught us how to pray, and I have too. So I just want to give full disclaimer. I've been learning how to pray over the last few years in a deeper way. Teach me to pray. So first of all, we set a time and a place. And Jesus in Luke 11, 1 said he was at a certain place and he finished. So he had a certain time that actually ended. And I think we need to ask God to help us find a certain time that we can pray. It's so difficult to maintain a daily prayer pattern if it's all over the board. If sometimes you do it at 3 and sometimes you do it at midnight and sometimes you do it at 6 in the morning, it's hard to find a pattern or a habit with that. Find a certain time that you can pray, and if you can, a certain place. And ask the Lord to redeem time for you. If you don't feel like you have any time, ask Jesus to give you time. I'm not saying you have to pray for an hour, though I think that's a really wonderful goal. But for some of you, that may be way too big to approach. Maybe right now, you really are to pray for 10 minutes. And that may seem like so little, but can you imagine 10 minutes opening your heart to the Lord every single day? If you do it right, I guarantee you it's going to grow to 20 minutes and 30 minutes. And it's going to grow because you're hungry for time with your Father. But find time to get with him. Number two, have your journal and your Bible and your calendar. Because God's going to speak to you things and you need to write them down. Do not let the Lord speak to your heart without writing something down, because you may not remember it later. And if God wants to deal with something about your day, you need to write that down too. Have your calendar available. Number three is this. Okay, this is the big one. Ready? If you're going to pray, spend time in prayer before the Lord. Ready? Actually pray. Actually pray. I really hate to say this, but here's the reality. In a lot of my circles, pastor friends, there's a lot of emphasis given on Bible reading and journaling, but not on prayer. And I think Bible reading is very important, but not without prayer. And we got to become people who are people, men and women of prayer. And then our Bible reading becomes part of our prayer. It's not just information that we're getting in. I know a lot of people, leaders, even pastors, who will read their Bible every day, who will journal every day, but there's not this depth of prayer that's happening. And I just believe that prayer and Bible reading are to go together like peanut butter and jelly. I think, who would ever have just a peanut butter sandwich, right? Maybe for you, it's peanut butter and honey. Maybe for you, peanut butter's horrible. So for you, it's Vegemite and something else. I don't know. But I just believe prayer and Bible reading are really important together. And so I want to encourage us to actually learn how to pray. And then once you have your time, your journal, your Bible, here's a way to start a daily pattern concerning prayer. First of all, we're just going to go through the Lord's Prayer. It doesn't mean you have to pray the Lord's Prayer by word every time. I grew up learning the Lord's Prayer. We prayed it, and so now it's in my heart, and I follow this pattern, because when the disciples said, "Teach us how to pray," here's what he said. So it's really easy to follow a pattern of prayer as you're spending time with the Lord every day, and that's what I do, and I can encourage you to do the same. He starts this way: "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." First of all, thank God and recognize him as your Father. The Bible says in Psalm 100 that we're to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. The first part of my personal prayer time is praising God. It's maybe singing a song. Is just declaring his goodness from the word of God and just saying, "Lord, I want to enter into your presence today and give you my heart." And so I recognize that he is the source of everything good that I have, of salvation, of grace, of provision, of resource, of wisdom. And I thank him. The second thing I do is focus on a name of God. There are many, many names of God listed and revealed in the word of God. And it's good for us to learn what those are. I have an app on my iPhone that actually, it's from the navigators, and it says the names of God. There's 30 different names, and you can go through every day and list one of the names of God. And I declare every day, I don't go through the list perfectly, but every day I say, "Lord, what is your name? What is your name?" Because the name that you revealed also reveals what your nature is. And if I'm worshiping you, and if I'm praying to you, and if I'm setting my heart right before you, I want to understand your nature. And so some mornings I'll say, Lord, thank you for being the great shepherd. Some mornings I'll say, Lord, thank you for being Jehovah Jireh, the great provider, because today I need your provision in this area. Lord, thank you, God, for being Jehovah Shalom, the one that brings peace and wholeness, because today that's what I need. Thank you, Lord, for being Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Thank you, God, for bringing healing to my life today. And each day, depending on what I may need, depending on what I think I may need, I just declare one of the names of God and embrace that. Your kingdom come, he goes on to say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And here is where I just turn a corner and start praying that God's rule and reign, his kingdom is his rule and reign, would be ruling over my day and my life and my choices and my actions and my attitudes, over my spheres of influence. And so I start to pray not just for myself, but I pray, Lord, would you rule and reign over my family, over Caleb, over Johnny, over Abby and Deborah. I start praying for my church. There's others I pray for daily as well. I pray for Pastor Jack and Anna as Anna's going through this time. I pray for my parents and my mom's healing. There's others I pray for too. But Lord, would your kingdom come and your will be done in my life and through my life as it is in heaven. As part of this, I present my body to God. And it's something I've been learning and I don't do perfectly. But here's what I realized. I don't know how I got so far in life without really deeply owning this reality. My body belongs to God. I know that, and I've known that. But that means that everything I put in my mouth is doing something to this body that belongs to God. So I'm not there perfectly yet, but I'm learning. And so, Lord, whatever I put in my mouth, I want to only put in my mouth what glorifies you in this body. And, Lord, whatever comes out of this mouth, I want it to only glorify you. And so I pray along with Ephesians 4:29 that every word that comes out of my mouth would be helpful and useful for building up others. Lord, let your kingdom come and your will be done. Your rule and reign in my mouth, in my mind. Lord, I take every thought captivity. I don't want my mind or my focus to be off of you today. If something starts getting wonky, Lord, help me bring it back into alignment with what you want. Lord, let my heart only be focused on you. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, God, be acceptable in your sight today, O Lord. So I give him my day and say, Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done in my life today. I surrender to you as it is in heaven. And then I pray, give us today, give me today my daily bread. Because every day there's something that you need. And when I pray that, this may seem strange, but I get out my calendar. I open up my calendar on my computer or my iPhone and I look at every appointment I have that day. Lord, would you give me the resource I need to have wisdom in this appointment, to speak words of life in this appointment, to speak your prophetic word when I meet with this person. Lord, what are you saying to me today? What do I need today in order to follow you? And then I'll also pray at that same time for things that are simply heavy on my heart. Maybe they're not daily bread for today, but if I don't deal with them before the Lord, they're going to weigh me down all day long. So in the last week, I've been praying for the presidential transition. Lord, give me today my daily bread, Lord. And I've started because I've had a pattern of praying for the president because I believe that that's what God calls us to. I've prayed for Obama every day. Now I'm praying for President Trump every day and his advisors and everything else. I'm going to do that. I think that's right. By the way, if you didn't know, a couple of days ago, we had a major transition in our country. Just in case you missed it, in case your head was in the sand. I have something to tell those of you who are struggling and anxious and heartbroken, and you don't know where the world's going with this transition, I have something to tell you today. God's still king. God's in control, okay? All right? Now, I also have something to tell those of you who are elated and excited, and you're totally pumped that this transition's happened. Are you ready? God's still king. God's still in control, okay? So whatever side of the political fence you're on, I'm really glad you're here. I'm glad we're worshiping Jesus together. But here's what I know. Jesus is still king. So when I say your kingdom come, your will be done in my life, Lord, give me today my daily bread. Here's the stuff I'm struggling with. Here's the stuff that I'm wondering about. Here's the things that might be anxious to me. Lord, here you are. Here are my sick friends that I'm praying for every day. Lord, here they are to you. Lord, would you just supply today what we're going to need? I believe this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. So if I believe that every day the Lord is my shepherd and will give me what I need, I pray that every morning. Then he says, pray this, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And I've learned over the last year, I've always been somebody who's tried to be good at confession. But it's usually when I remember something's happened. When I sin or when I get off track and I want to confess right away, or maybe later on the Lord brings something to mind, and when he does, then I say, okay, Lord, I need to repent, I need to turn around. But here's what I've been learning, that every morning of my life, to say, Lord, forgive my sins. What was there that I did yesterday? Lord, what was there that I did that maybe I don't even know? Because frankly, if I knew that I did it, I've probably confessed already. Because I want to be somebody who's immediate at confessing sin, that I repent right away. But in the morning, I'd say, Lord, what happened yesterday? Or maybe not even yesterday. Maybe it was weeks ago. Maybe it was months ago. Maybe it was years ago. And something just hasn't been brought to mind. I pray with the psalmist, search me and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Can I tell you, if you do that every day, the Lord will start bringing things up to your heart that you didn't even realize were still there. And you start cleansing yourself every day. Listen, my time with the Lord has become, I hope this doesn't sound too pedestrian because I don't mean it that way, but my time with the Lord every morning has become as important to me as taking a shower every day. I need a shower. Do you need a shower every day? Okay, not everybody, okay? I need a shower every day because if I don't take a shower every day, I start stinking. And I know it. But maybe just as importantly, everybody else around me knows it. I gotta spend time and say, Lord, forgive me. Show me where I'm wrong. Show me where I've gotten off track. As part of that, I also say, Lord, every morning, Lord, show me if I'm offended by anybody. Show me if I'm mad at somebody. Show me if there's somebody I haven't forgiven. And sometimes he'll show me something from the day before that I didn't realize. Sometimes he'll bring up something that was years ago that I didn't realize was still there. And I have to forgive that. And I need to let it go. Because if I'm going to walk in freedom in my life with God, I can't hold on to unforgiveness against other people. You might pray that prayer and God shows you something and say, Lord, that was a big thing. I don't know how to do that. But Lord, would you help me? Would you show me? And then the next day you pray that again, and the next day you pray that again. Your heart that says, Lord, I want to walk in full grace and forgiveness to others, and I'm not quite sure how to get there, but I'm going to keep praying this and believing that you're going to give me the ability to get there. I believe God will change your heart. Daily confession and repentance. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And here I'll pray something like this. Lord, I've already declared that my intention is to give every choice to you, that I've wanted to surrender to your will and your way totally. But even then, I don't always see the schemes that the devil wants to throw at me today. So Lord, would you remind me that there is a true enemy that's trying to take me down? And would you give me insight to see where those tripping points are so that I can avoid them? Lord, would you show me even now, I'll pray in the morning, would you show me even now ways that the enemy's already scheming to trip me up through temptation. Let me see that now so that I can avoid it. I believe that we need to be ready and alert and aware of an enemy that's trying to take us down. Then he says, finally, for yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. Amen. Eugene Peterson translates it this way in the Message. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're a blazing beauty. Yes, yes, yes. Wouldn't you love to end every prayer that way? God, you are awesome. You're beautiful. You're wonderful. You're in charge. Take over. Yes. I think if we did that every day, if we spent time with the Lord cleansing our hearts, giving our intentions to Him, giving our lives to Him, thanking Him and not complaining, repenting of anything that needs to be repented of, asking the Lord to speak to us, I think that'd be amazing. But I want to finish this way, and I know we're running late. Hang on with me for a minute. It's okay, it's wet out there anyway. You don't want to be out there. You just don't want to be out there right now. Because that's how I'll spend time with the Lord every morning, but there's two more things that are really important that I do at the same time. You don't have to do it at the same time, but I just think it works better. I think when you prepare your heart and now you're ready to hear and respond, it's a really good thing. So this is the ninth thing. I went through seven things. The eighth thing is this. Then after I'm done pouring out my heart to the Lord, after I'm done praying to Him, then I just stop and wait. Silently, expecting that the Holy Spirit's going to speak to me. Because there's things I'm bringing to Him. I can talk, I can babble on and on and on and on. I think prayer, listening and prayer is just as important as speaking. I think listening and prayer is more important than speaking. I think listening to what the Lord would speak. So as soon as we're ready, we've cleansed our heart, we've prepared our hearts, now we listen. Lord, what are you going to bring to mind? What are you going to bring to heart? Psalm 27 says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And so I'll pray for my family, or I'll pray for friends that I didn't know I was going to pray for. I'll pray for my church, my neighborhood, current events. Some of you have lists. Pray for X on Tuesday and this X on Wednesday and X on Thursday and on Friday. And you have lists to pray for, and that's great. One of the things I'll do during that time is I have another app on my phone that goes through all the countries of the world. And one by one, I go through the countries, and most of the time I have to look them up because I didn't get a good grade in geography. And I have to look them up and find out what's going on. This morning as I was praying, I pray for a country called Comoros. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but it's a little island nation off the east coast of Africa that I found out is Comoros. I found out was 98% Muslim, and over 50% of the inhabitants are under 15 years old. God needs to do something in that nation. And I started praying for missionaries to be sent. I started praying for God to make himself real there. I started praying for an outpouring of his life in that country. And so I'll use that time to pray through the countries of the world. You may pray differently then, but we listen and we respond. And I find that even though it's a different thing than my daily check-in, I find that works best when my heart is prepared. And then finally, I read and I pray the Bible. After all of that, after preparing my heart, after listening to the voice of the Lord, then I sit down and say, Lord, would you speak to me from your word today? And I open up the word of God and I start reading slowly and I start taking it in and I start stopping and saying, Lord, what do you might be saying there? Lord, speak to my heart right now. And I'll journal as I'm reading and then I'll stop at the end and ask this every time. Lord, what can I do to be different today because of what I've just read in your word? Because ultimately, if we're calling Jesus Lord, we're saying he's in charge. And if we're going to look at the word of God, we can't just look at it for information. It needs to transform the way we act, the way we think, the way we talk, the way we live, what we put in our body, what comes out of our body. It has to transform us, church. But I believe if we would spend time before the Lord daily in prayer, and we would spend time before the Lord listening to his word and responding, I think our lives would change. I think our world would change. I know our city would change. Let's pray.